Good morning, Jason. Good to talk to you as always. The Thursday nighter tonight, the Jets and the Bills, Rex Ryan. This one almost feels like the lead up to it, the WrestleMania hype might be better than the football game itself. Rex puts IKN and Polly as a captain in this team. Of course, he's the guy that broke Geno's jaw. Anyway, like I say, it feels like there might be more sizzle than steak here.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. You know, short week, two teams that are somewhat limited. Jets had a hot start, but had some injuries now. Not a very deep team, and they're being compromised at a few positions. And, you know, nice showing by the Bills last weekend, you know, albeit against a Miami team that really isn't any good. And we'll see if they can keep it going or if they will continue to get in their own way, which has been their case, and sort of has been Rex Ryan's case for several years now. And look, if Buffalo can, you know, whoever wins this game is still poised to, you know, potentially be a factor in the playoffs. And I do like what I've seen of Tyrod Taylor, although it's been a little bit in fits and starts. But, look, it's not going to be boring, right? I mean, it's interesting. There's subplots to talk about. It's, it should be an interesting game.
What do we know about the health of LeSean McCoy with it being a short week and all?
Yeah, I think he'll be good to go. You know, same thing for Sammy Watkins, who got through a game last week and thrived, didn't just survive. He went out and was a difference maker. That kid, nobody really talks about the Carlos Williams kid. I think he really has an impact there. We see him with explosive runs every week when he's able to spell LeSean McCoy and keep things rolling. That's pretty significant because McCoy has missed a lot of time, and that hamstring is something that can come back and bark at any time. And I really, you know, like what I've seen of Carlos Williams. When they know that they've got multiple backs, I think it settles down that offensive line a little bit. They know that, you know, Greg Roman, their coordinator, wants to run the ball a lot, and that's what they're best suited to doing. It's not a group that wants to be back there pass protecting all the time. I think from the Bills' standpoint, you know, Percy Harvin aside, he's out for the year. But, you know, otherwise, offensively, they're pretty healthy.
This actually, in terms of playoff implications, this is the big game. I mean, you're talking about the Jets as a fifth seed right now. If Buffalo beats them, that this would be a huge swing in terms of how the wild card could shake out.
Yeah. The Jets need to stabilize a little bit now and just, you know, find a way. They won ugly against Jacksonville last week, which is fine. There's no style points right now. Excuse me. You got Ryan Fitzpatrick playing quarterback with one hand, and he'll probably have a surgical procedure tomorrow to try to get that left hand back to, his non-throwing hand, back to where it needs to be. He's got the torn ligaments in there. You know, their hope would be maybe he could even play the game following that with the, you know, the extra time off with them playing on a Thursday. Brandon Marshall's not 100%. Cromartie's having a poor year, and he looks like a guy who's running out of steam, and he's, you know, on and off the field all the time. Really, it begins and ends with them, with Nick Mangold, their center who sets a tone. You know, he had the neck injury a few weeks back, came back, played a little bit last week, was in and out of that game, ended up spending the second half of the game really just watching. You know, that's got to be a concern for them as well. So I know that certainly the Jets are a little bit worried about their health right now, and they're hoping they can survive this game and then get the additional time off. But there's some key questions for them.
Wanted to ask you about Los Angeles. It sounds like the Raiders and Chargers are getting closer and closer to that. St. Louis, I haven't heard much on that front lately, but what do we know, and what are the timelines sort of looking realistic?
Yeah, you know, we still don't know much. Still a lot has to be sorted out. And until these owners actually bring anything to a vote, we're still just kind of reading tea leaves. But big, you know, Carson has added a lot. The Carson Project, the Chargers and the Raiders, have added a lot of sizzle to that group when you start talking about people like Carmen Policy, who was a highly thought-of executive with the 49ers for a long time, and now Bob Iger, who is the CEO of Disney. When you have people like that coming on board, it certainly helps, and it's got them some momentum towards the goal line. But they're not there yet, and, you know, until things come to a vote and until we know exactly what's going on, then, you know, it's still just sort of backroom machinations and everything else. I mean, St. Louis Some people prefer that project in Inglewood. Some people think it might be one that's a little bit more bells and whistles, one that might be and just more of a prime location in terms of people getting there from, say, West Los Angeles and the hills and stuff like that. But, you know, there's concerns about flyover patterns and what that stadium would do to some FCC regulations with airplanes and the like. There's some serious traffic concerns about it as well. So, you know, it's going to come down to these owners voting. I think it'll still happen in January. Now, there was an owners meeting yesterday, and some of the owners started to opine about putting this off to the spring. I don't think that makes sense for anybody involved. If you're going to put it off until March or May, you should put it off until 2017, because these teams are going to need as much time as possible to physically relocate, to establish new fan bases, to, you know, take the temperature of season ticket holders. There's so much that goes into this. They've got to find where they're going to hold their OTAs, where they're going to hold their training camps. I mean, so I think if the league's been as passionate about doing this, they need to find a way to get it going in the next 6 weeks so that by January they have the vote and people are actually moving their teams.
He's Jason Lackenfora, our NFL insider on Boomer and Warner in the Morning. After eight games, I don't know if anybody would have believed the Packers would be tied with the Vikings, but there they both are at 6-2, four wins. I'm not one of those guys that worries about it, but I'm still curious. Teddy Bridgewater gets knocked out, and he's starting this week. No problems. I just wonder if they're 2-6, is this guy going? Because obviously, being in Oakland, this is a huge game for the Vikings this week.
Yeah, I'm with you here. We've seen it increasingly now become almost accepted and commonplace. If a guy gets a concussion, he's not going to play the next week. Now, he might come back, you know, a week after that, but a lot of guys are missing 2-plus weeks as well. This one, they kind of started downplaying it as soon as it happened. It looked bad. It certainly looked like a young man who was out cold, whose eyes were rolling back in his head, and who appeared to have lost consciousness for some period of time. Now, I'm also not a doctor, so, you know, and I'm not privy to the baseline test and everything else, but they certainly seem to be sending signals very early in the week that, hey, we think Teddy's okay. Now, the realities of concussion protocol are he could wake up tomorrow morning, feel a little nauseous, get a little lightheaded, have a headache, whatever, and if this thing is being handled the right way, he's then, you know, going to be taken off the field, and he won't be playing. So I would say anytime with a concussion, I would caution that until we get to Sunday afternoon, you know, a lot of things could still be in flux. He seems to be involved in everything they're doing. They seem to be planning for him to play, and they seem to be expecting him to play rather than Sean Hill. But he took a blow to the head, and, you know, he didn't finish that game. And all I can say is I'm can only assume that the Vikings, as all teams must, are following the concussion protocol to the letter of the law.
Eric kind of came out on the Denver Broncos. They're now 7-1, which is still obviously more than enough in the AFC West. Peyton didn't practice. He's got a sore foot. They're at home to KC. I don't think they lose this football game, but are we starting to see maybe the erosion of the Denver Broncos a bit?
Well, I've been surprised, again, that they have the record they have. I mean, we think we've talked about this in the past. I have major reservations about the scope of that offense, and I also have concerns about the ability for a defense that's a little long in the tooth in a few places to hold up and to be able to be, you know, anything close to as dominant week 17 and in the playoffs as we've seen them in the first half of the year. Now, maybe I'm wrong on both instances, but certainly, they've only been able to run the football once this year. Peyton Manning has only looked, even an average quarterback once this year to me, and that was the same game, you know, against Green Bay. DeMarcus Ware's got the back injury again. Tlaib suspended. We've seen Chris Harris get banged up with a little bit more regularity week in, week out, and him out of some games. So we'll just have to see. Offensively, I mean, to me, the Green Bay game was a complete anomaly. It did not look like anything else I've seen from them, and it's not like there's a super small sample size with this team anymore. You know, we're into the second half of the season. I think they are who they are. If they can't run the football, in December and January, if this is really as good as it gets with the offensive line, then I don't think Peyton Manning's going to be winning football games for them. If you put Peyton Manning in a position where everything else is aligned and he can just help you not lose them, you know, then I start buying them a little bit more as a team, you know, that's viable. They could win, you know, 3-4 games in the postseason. But I don't think they're going to get a first-round bye. They're certainly not going to, you know, be the number one seed. And I don't like the construction of this team having to go on the road in adverse, you know, climates, whether it be Cincinnati or New England or whatever, and winning games. I don't see that.
Thoughts on the Sunday nighter? I've been waiting a long time for this. Seattle, no one's going to count them out yet, but they are in Arizona. It's the first of two. They're at home to Arizona, but this is a good NFC West clash. What do you expect?
You know, I think this is a chance for Seattle to really make people and themselves forget about all the turmoil and the slow start and the Chancellor, holdout and, you know, some of the tough losses. I mean, they win this game. They're one game back of Arizona with a lot of time still to play and with a lot of division games left and with a lot of home games left. Now they lose it, and I think you start looking at them as a team that could be in trouble because, as you said, you got a Minnesota team with 6 wins already. And all of a sudden Seattle's in a dogfight just to make the playoffs as a wild card. They fall 3 games back here and another divisional loss. I don't see them winning that division. So, I mean, you had 2 teams coming out of a bye, highly motivated. I mean, I really feel like this is a chance for Seattle to hit the reset button on their season. They've got stuff to figure out offensively, certainly. Their red zone offense has been abysmal. They're not getting in the end zone enough. I mean, people harped on Jimmy Graham. I mean, Jimmy Graham's yardage and receptions, he's leading the team by far. I mean, that hasn't been a problem. They're just not getting in the end zone. They have to find a way to unlock him in the red zone. I think they will. This should be the healthiest Marshawn Lynch has been in a long time. I think they get back to their roots offensively. This is a chance for them to all of a sudden, you know, set the narrative for what they're going to be and how teams are going to be sort of looking at them. And it starts against the team that's in first place in their division. So, I still feel like Seattle's going to be a factor in all this. And I don't think we've seen the best of them yet, and I certainly don't think we've seen the last of them yet.
I've asked you about the Carolina Panthers. They win again. This was, I think, for many people, the litmus test. How can you do against Green Bay? Now, granted, you were at home, different if you win in Lambeau. But still, you put up 37, and you got a chance, or you got past a really good Aaron Rodgers performance. Now they've got Tennessee, and then they've got Washington, and then Dallas. I don't know if Romo's back by then, but how long can this roll go? But just strength of schedule, it seems like they could really tack a few more on here.
Yeah, Romo will be back by then. I mean, he's going to play. He's going to play Week 11. There's not a whole lot of debate about that. But I actually feel like this is a tricky spot for them this week. They've had so many high emotion games where they've literally been proving themselves on a national stage, you know, week in, week out. I mean, these primetime games, you know, the game at Seattle. I just feel like they've had this sort of gauntlet that they've run, and they've passed it with flying colors. And they've got a nice little lead really all the way around. And the reality is they can slip up a couple times and still win that division. Not just win that division, but be the number one seed, you know, with some of these head-to-head wins. Really, I mean, that's like an extra game. I mean, when they beat Green Bay, it's like picking up 2 games at once. You're picking up the actual game on them in the standings, and then you know if you're tied, the first tiebreaker is head-to-head. So I think Tennessee is a little bit dangerous here. They're playing with house money. They had kind of a happy-go-lucky comeback win last week. Marcus Mariota gives them a different spark. I just wonder if this is a natural letdown game for Carolina. It's going to happen, I think, in one of these. Maybe it's not this one. Maybe it's Washington. I don't think they're going to run the table. I don't think it really matters to them that they run the table. And I don't think it's a concern for them or a motivation for them the way it would be for a Patriots team. So I do think a slip-up's coming, but then I think you'll have a lot of people who will say, oh, I told you so, and people jumping off the bandwagon. And look, everybody slips up. I don't think they're going to go in the tank by any stretch. I don't think they're due for a market correction in that all of a sudden they're going to, like, quote-unquote, come back to earth. But they're going to lose a game or two here along the way, and they'll probably lose a game or two to a team that they're favored against. But that's the nature of this league.